This scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on the 16th of August 2026. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 15. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And we pray. Lord, make us and keep us your holy ones in the truth, for your word is truth. Amen. Two Sundays ago, Pastor Sue preached what I thought was a bit of a ripper sermon on the theme, More Than Enough. More than enough. And today we've actually got a similar theme flowing through, it seems. How much more? How much more has God got than the basics for us? For you, my dear ones, he seems to be saying. As we heard last Sunday and again today, both in Isaiah and in Romans, the gospel is for everyone, not just for the house of Israel. And this is quite radical, I think. God is a God of order, yet God is a God of wonderful surprise. Amazing surprise in grace in his Son. And today we hear about that, I think, in a powerful way in the story of a Canaanite woman whose daughter is tormented by a demon. Today we hear in their story something of our story, your story and mine, and God's story in Jesus in our lives. How much more do I have for you? As we unpack the story a little bit in a moment, may I ask you to perhaps consider, consciously consider and reflect on what God has done for you in your life. What is God up to now in your life? And what does all that mean for your response as you live it out in whatever you're facing in your life? So let's get into the story. It seems to me that as we read and hear today's gospel reading, there are a number of movements or acts, if you will, like a good play. And this is how, as I read it, they came out to me. So the first act or the first movement is Jesus actually moving. He goes from Jewish territory where he's been in Galilee, and he withdraws to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And this is Gentile territory. Jesus chooses to go there. I'm not sure what the travel advisory issued by DFAT in Jerusalem would have said about that. It probably would have said, don't go there. This is not Jewish territory. It's never been part of Israel. So this is not a trip just to the north coast to get warm for Jesus. He chooses to go into this unclean place. First movement. Second one. There he is met by someone from that region, a woman, a Canaanite woman. And not only is he met, but she comes shouting to him, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." If Jesus is in this Gentile territory by choice, It's not unexpected that he'll meet someone from that place. But this is unique. He's just been with Jewish leaders in Jewish territory who have rejected him. But this woman from this backwater place acts like she's already a strong disciple of Jesus. So how does he respond in Act 3? Jesus plays a straight bat. At first, he does not answer her. And this seems to energize the disciples, doesn't it? Who think that they know Jesus' mind and heart. Send her away, Lord. She doesn't belong. And what's more, she's rather loud and won't give up. Jesus finally answers, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this really is something that Matthew in his gospel emphasizes. He speaks to Christians, many of whom have come from a Jewish background. The story holds together with all of those Old Testament promises and it is dripping with anticipation for the coming of the Messiah, which is fulfilled in Jesus. So Jesus says, I was sent first then to the lost children of Israel. All is as expected. But in the fourth act, or the fourth movement, comes the decisive moments. The twist in the story comes. Grace has come to the land, and this grace is met and already received in faith, isn't it? What is not expected is the faith that's already in the heart of this outsider, I think, this foreign woman, which will show up the misguided, blind, and foolish thoughts of the disciples of this at this moment, and those law-driven focused things of the Jewish leaders whom Jesus has just been with. She came and knelt before him saying, Lord, help me. He answered, it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Totally unexpected, I think. In effect, and I'm really cutting this down to a very short summary, the woman says, yes, Lord, of course, you're right. I know your mission is first to the lost sheep of Israel. I know I come from the wrong side of the tracks. I know. But I also know you. And how she knew him, I don't know. And Matthew doesn't tell us. Yet she knew Jesus. And she knew him well enough to cry out to him and say, just a crumb from you is enough. You are enough. And I was reminded of another woman in Scripture, you know, as I heard this. And you might know the story of that, the woman who had bled for 12 long, hard years of exclusion. And when Jesus comes near her in her place, she says, if I even just touch the hem of his garment, just a mere touch, I know I'll be okay. For those who come from the wrong side of the Jewish tracts and they hear of this Jesus and put their trust in him, that's enough. And the final movement then, and the result, is that Jesus answered her, woman, great is your faith. We don't know her name, yet she's one of the few in Scripture for whom Jesus compliments, if you will, her for her faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. Let it be done for you as you wish. Just like the immediate scene that we had with Jesus reaching out to Peter as he sunk in the water, it happens straight away. And her daughter was healed from that moment. It doesn't mean as Christians we start walking on water, but it means that we know that Jesus' arm and hand is there for us when we know what it is to sink in life. This, I think, is the heart of God meeting the heart of someone who puts their trust in Jesus. Do you know the heart of Jesus, of God, for you? Perhaps look at the cross anew. Can you see, maybe hear and learn God's heart for you today? What's your response to his heart for you? How does your daily life look? How does it line up against the faith of the Canaanite woman is one of the questions I had to ask myself, I have to say. This is not a competition about who's got the strongest faith. That's the last thing I want it to be. That's a silly game played by silly people. But Jesus' interaction with this woman of great faith calls me, and I think it calls all of us, again to God's heart and our response to it for us in our living. In our Old Testament reading in Isaiah 56 today, God already says his mercy is not just for Israel, not just for a select few, but he will gather people from all nations. But it's to the chapter before that I want to go to, and we heard this as our Old Testament reading a few Sundays back, Isaiah 55. And listen in for the food and the crumbs. We'll see if we can make some connections as we hear Isaiah 55, which reads, "Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat." You who have no money. "Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you might live." I think this is the story of the Canaanite woman of great faith. This is God's gift and God's plan for you. A good shepherd came along amongst his sheep and said, "I've come that they, that you, that we might have life and have it to the full." God's heart and plan for you and for me are so much more than crumbs. How much more? More than enough, as we heard in Pastor Sue's sermon just a few weeks ago. This is God's plan for you and me. So, for example, in Jesus' teaching on prayer, when he talks about, when the disciples come to him in Luke 11, for example, and say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And he tells a story. And he tells a story then of someone coming to a person on behalf of another. And he says at the end of that story, "If you then, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Like the Canaanite woman of great faith, we too can come to Jesus and we can shout from the mountaintops. Maybe this is your calling in life now, to pray for someone you know who needs Jesus. So pray boldly. Walk with that Canaanite woman to Jesus and be bold. For God has much for us in our Christian journey. For example, in Romans 5, where Paul talks about the new life that comes through the salvation which is freely given in Christ, he says this in comparing the sin of Adam and the sacrifice of Christ. "If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through the one, how much more, surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." That's us. Paul's describing you and me. Jesus for you. Sacrifice. Cross. New life. Full life. A foretaste of the eternal feast to come. Sometimes when we gather together, before we come to this feast, we sing of it. "This is the feast of victory for our God," and we shout, "Alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God." That's our reality. Set free from the bondage of sin and the sentence of death. We live life freely, and so I look to that Canaanite woman and I want to learn how to live it boldly in coming and walking with Jesus as his disciple. "This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia." And today he invites us to more than mere crumbs. He invites us to his very best. And it's going to be a meal for people from every tribe and nation and tongue, as we heard last Sunday. God says in our Old Testament reading in Isaiah 56, "For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others as well." Here is our call then too, I think, in life. There's no monoculture here, but rather God's multicultural, multi-layered, multi-language people of faith with a call to go to others. Unified in Christ, diverse in gifts, God's kingdom, God's church, boldly us. And I think we can step out boldly then in partnership, as we do, with our mission together with the Chinese Lutheran Church here. And it's lovely to welcome Pastor Tim from the Chinese Lutheran Church in Adelaide and your wife, Sophie. Welcome to you both. Here at St. Paul's, we're making a journey in partnership too with the Chinese Lutheran Church here. So let's be people who receive the fullness of Christ for us. Let's sing with the Canaanite woman and all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing, honour, glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. Our gift, our life, our call. Grow in the richness of God's feast for you. Go with the richness of the feast to people of every place. And perhaps begin at home. Begin with the people that God brings into your life today. Because just the crumbs are enough. But our God in our lives is the God of how much more. And so are you. So is your story. And as you are bearers of this gift for others, be bold just like the Canaanite woman and live it for others too. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.